Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
All I want for my birthday is a big booty hoe.
And James Strebel.
I'm in love with a stripper.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
My name's Jonas. I'm carrying the will. Thanks for all you've shown us. This is how we feel.
4 o'clock hour. Blitz coming up. Stuart Mandel at 4:40. Reminder, 4 o'clock hour presented by RGB Home Theaters. Think I'm ready to pull the trigger on that new TV. Sending that email out later on today, Strebel.
How about that?
RGBHomeTheaters.com is the website there. Personalized, top-notch service. They'll help you every step of the way. Bring that theater experience to your home today, whether it's a man cave or a home theater, a basement, office, whatever it may be. We'll go into Strebel's bedroom. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's RGBHomeTheaters.com. 437-9680. Reminder as well, coming up after us tonight, Jack Grossman will be leading the way there for Soccer City. So I'm sure he's thrilled about that.
Yeah,
no Jason Entz. Jack Grossman will take over. And Soccer City tonight, Thursday night football, coming up 7:30 on all ESPN Louisville stations. All righty, Blitz, let's jump into it. Jackie boy, hit the music. There's the music. Ty Spalding joins us from CardinalSports.com. Ty, good afternoon, sir.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Oh, we are matriculating through the week. It's beautiful out.
Some football on TV tonight.
Football on TV tonight.
Yeah.
Football on Friday, right? Louisville doesn't play on Friday. They actually play on Saturday. Let's go back before we go forward here, Ty. Deflating. How deflating was that loss for you on Friday night?
It was about as deflating as it can get. You look at the moments that Scott Satterfield had on big stages, key games that you just think, all right, this is the opportunity, this is the moment. Get the fans that are open to it back on board, and he just squandered another golden opportunity. I mean, you look at the viewership, you look at the fans that were there. You know, it wasn't full, obviously, that upper deck and the party deck and the end zone. I don't think those are going to be completely full no matter what happens. But the fans that were there, it was a great environment. The fans were into it. And unless something crazy happens, it just feels like we're going to look back at that game and just point to that as a moment that Scott Satterfield had that just slipped right through his hands and really just turned the fans off for good.
What bothered you the most about the loss? Instead of just losing, what bothered you specifically most about it?
I mean, for me, it's just this team, there's not one thing that you can point to or predict they're going to do this well for four quarters. Like, the defense will play well, but it'll be for one quarter, and then for the other three quarters, they'll be what they usually are. And then
there's no consistency. There's no consistency in games or week to week.
And I mean, the offense again looks good, but they're not going to do it for four quarters. And they couldn't get into the end zone when it mattered in the fourth quarter. And that's the big theme is just, what does this team do well for four quarters? What can you say going into the South Florida game? This team is going to do this well for four quarters. There's not an identity, and there hasn't been an identity in 3 years and change that Satterfield's been here. And Friday night was another example. It's defense plays well here, offense plays well here, but there's no consistency, as you said.
No, it's just it is frustrating, and another could have won this game, and I don't know. I know we're at the point to where losing coaches sound very similar in press conferences, so I try to preface everything. But, you know, Brian Brown is trying to, you know, spray air freshener on a turd a little bit on Monday. I mean, there was a little bit, and, you know, Wilson is a very good player. Johnny Wilson is a very good player, but it's not only because he's 6'7". The one play against Brownlee in the second half, yes, that was a great play. Him being 6'7 mattered, but him running down the sideline and running open in the middle of the field, that was not because of 6'7". And I'm not asking them to be mean and nasty at these press conferences and to be pumping people up, but I mean, what they're saying, it doesn't make sense, and I know they're losing coaches. Does any of that make sense? Because it's a little frustrating, I know, for Louisville fans.
And Brian Brown had that quote, you know, that the guys were excited, you know, that it wasn't as bad as maybe they thought it was. And I'm not getting paid millions of dollars to break down film. I played high school football at a small level. And even when I look back at the game, the first play of Florida State's touchdown drive that went for 50, 60 yards, it was a simple just play action, and you've got three linebackers just flying up, and right behind them is a tight end wide open. I mean, that was the first play that I watched. It's guys not reading the linemen, you know, grade school stuff, high school stuff. And look, I'm not getting paid millions of dollars to break down film, but man, I could tell from the first drive that guys are just making boneheaded mistakes, looking in the backfield, not reading their keys. I mean, again, I'm not getting paid millions of dollars to break down film, but man, when I turned it on, it was as bad as I thought it was on Friday.
Malik hasn't thrown a touchdown. Some of that matters. Some of that does not matter. I mean, you get in the red zone, like Satterfield said. I did agree with this. You score however you can score. But the numbers didn't have not taken his game thus far, has not taken a step forward. Is that maybe this receiving crew isn't what we thought it was? And now injuries, D. Wiggins being one of those, starts to rear, that ugly head. What do you think it is there with the offense that's good? But at, you know, critical times, it's not quite clicking the way that we thought it would, maybe.
I think it's a combination of things. I think Malik is still locking in on a guy pre-snap. I noticed that, again, as I was rewatching the game. Two, I don't think he's as confident in this receiving group as maybe he has been in the past. And three, I just don't think this offense schemes guys open like a Bobby Petrino, like a Jeff Fromm, not to bring up, you know, coaches from the past or names that are going to come up, but this offense just doesn't scheme receivers open. Like, I just don't see two or three guys being open on different plays. They don't really mix in any mesh routes over the middle. It just feels like a very elementary level offensive passing attack. And again, you know, I don't, these coaches are getting paid way more than I am, but just from my perspective, I just don't see much creativity in the route combinations, and it's really translating to when you look at the stats. And when you only have one passing touchdown through three games, hey, what are these receivers you have coming in? What are they? They're seeing this. They're watching the game on Friday night. They're seeing, you know, how are these receivers being utilized? Amari Huggins-Bruce is a guy that, I mean, you've got to use him better than what you're using him right now.
And I agree with
again,
that. Yeah.
Again, I don't have the answers. I'm not getting paid the money to find those answers. But to me, on the surface level, it just doesn't seem like this offense is scheming receivers open very well.
This is a very sad segment from Ty Spalding.
He sounds sad.
Well, I mean, it's like the next thing I'm like, do I even ask him about like the penalties and mental errors when it's like third or fourth down and you have three yards to go that you run a 2-yard route, or the multiple false starts, or a 6 pre-snap penalties? I'm like, do I even ask? Ty, you don't even have to answer that if you don't want to. It's just sad. I know you're going to agree that it's unacceptable.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I pulled the numbers, and you'll have some numbers for Strieple from day to day, but Louisville's been called for 30 penalties through three games.
Wow.
That's good for 125th out of 130 FBS teams.
Wow.
I mean, it's right there in front of you. The numbers are terrible, and a stat like that is unacceptable in year four under a coach. And, yeah, you could say the players aren't disciplined, they're not concentrating, but it starts at the top. And it doesn't take me long to find the penalty stats, and Louisville is better than, what, four or five teams in all of FBS when it comes to penalties. So, I mean, it's really cut and dry at this point. They're not getting it done. The numbers don't add up. They're not good enough. And going back to what I said on the first question, there's no true identity as to what this team's going to do well for four quarters.
DeAndre Moore. Actually, let me go back just quickly because we do have John Hale on. We'll get to him next. What do you expect to happen on Saturday? Close win? Blow them out? What do you think?
I mean, I think South Florida is going to score a lot of points. I think this is probably going to be closer than you would want. I just don't know how many more times this team can rally. And again, this is an opponent that's not very good, so you shouldn't have to get off the mat too much to beat them. But you can only get kicked down too much, in my opinion, and I probably see this one playing out a little closer and sweating. Ooh. Sweaty palms in the second half, if I'm being honest.
Oh, sweaty palms.
No.
That's what they called Strebel in high school. It's odd that you use that verbiage when it's exactly what happened.
Is Ty going out there tomorrow? Or Saturday? Yeah. Going out there Saturday, Ty?
Of course he is.
Man, after Friday night, I didn't have the motivation to go, but this weather's too good.
Yeah.
You
okay. Okay, I was about to say.
Yeah, it's beautiful on Saturday, Ty.
I'll be there. But man, I was really, really questioning my motivation after that loss Friday.
Ty Spalding, CardinalSports.com. Ty, appreciate the time, man. Take care.
All right, see you all.
Kentucky.
All right, following Kentucky, John Hale, Lexington Herald Leader. John, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Oh, we are fantastic. Matriculating through the week.
Yeah.
Appreciate you joining us. Subject that I know you have been covering here. I'm blanking. Is it four or five UK?
Five.
Yes, five. Yep. The five UK football players now that have filed the lawsuit. You've written about it. What stands out? What's your reaction to, I guess, what you would say the next layer to this story?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that they decided to go this route because I think a lot of people had kind of forgotten about this story. Had, you know, after the grand jury didn't indict last year, it had kind of faded to the background, certainly with all the hospital stuff and Chris Rodriguez and all that going on this year. It had, you know, faded even further into the background. So it's back in the news now. And that's interesting because I'm sure they had to weigh whether or not they wanted this to be a topic again when they made the decision to move ahead with their legal case. And they have. Obviously, the circumstances they lay out in the lawsuits and the circumstances the police department laid out and all the investigative reports we got last year are pretty different. So I'm interested to see if they have some sort of evidence one way or the other that can prove which of these stories is closer to the truth. There is some stuff in there that my understanding of the legal process, and I am not a legal expert by any means, seems to be a little far-fetched. Like they say, the grand jury ruled that the evidence was false and fabricated, but that's not what a grand jury does. The grand jury just decided there was not enough evidence to proceed with the charges, so they didn't indict them. So I'm interested to see just how this plays out, if it actually gets to trial, if something else happens. You know, three of these guys aren't on the team anymore.
Right.
The three that are still there are hurt. One of them decided not to file a suit, Ernest Sanders, who is also not here anymore, but only five of the six guys who were charged are in this lawsuit. That's interesting. But I think it's kind of wait and see as to what happens next.
All right, let's go to the field itself. You know, this team is 3-0, 26-point favorites, so you're looking at 4-0 in a probably top 15, 16, 17 matchup with Ole Miss on Saturday. Yet the first three things, and this might say a lot about me, is Levis turnovers, offensive line play, and Stoops and Scangarello earlier this week were fiery. I mean, are those the three takeaways that now is go time? Cut down on the turnovers. The O-line needs to pick up. The running game needs to pick up. What's kind of the narrative? And again, Stoops is going to talk here in about an hour, so we'll see what he says then as well.
No, I think it's definitely the offensive struggles. I mean, they have put up, you know, enough points, obviously, to be 3-0. But the way that Zach Kinzer, the offensive line coach, phrased it on Tuesday to us, which I thought was, you know, basically the jux of the point, is he said, did we play well enough to beat an SEC football team? And the answer is no. And so that's kind of where they're at right now. They know that it's been good enough to win so far, but it's probably not been good enough to get where they want to be if they want to contend in the East, if they want to push Georgia, if they want to win at Ole Miss, win at Tennessee in the next month. Those things have to get fixed. I'm interested to see how much of the run game stuff gets fixed just by Chris Rodriguez coming back. I tend to think that a lot of it is issues that he can't address himself, but he will run over a guy and break some tackles and turn some of these short yardage runs into bigger plays. That will help and will change the way defenses approach them. That's for sure. But they've got to figure out the blocking stuff. It seems like their theory is the more these guys, their actual five starters, play together, the better the line's going to get. And they just haven't been able to do that so far. So we'll see if this weekend's the week that all five of them get to go out there and build some cohesion. When they did that at Florida, they played pretty well in the second half. So maybe that's the key. But, you know, some of it is just I think they just don't have as good offensive linemen as they had last year when you lose two NFL draft picks and the third guy who everybody thought was a draft prospect. So that's the thing they're just going to have to figure out as they go along.
Yeah, I think it's very simple. That's the analysis. We can say they need to play more together and they will get better, but, you know, the ceiling isn't exactly – the ceiling's the roof. The ceiling, not exactly what we thought. John Hale just – I mean, this was probably up 5-6 hours ago about C-Rod coming back, what that can do. So that's a good read. Go right now to the Lexington Herald Leader. Earlier in the week, I can't remember, I think it was Monday, Mark Stoops said in his weekly press conference about the outside runs that he had talked to Scangarello, and so maybe the offense is going to change a little bit. Any prediction or thought on that?
Yeah, I think that it's not going to change is my gut reaction. But I mean, the conversation is that as part of the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan coaching tree, the wide zone, the outside zone, is a thing that's very important to them. Liam Cohen a year ago wanted to do that. He got here after spring practice, looked at the personnel they had, knew his offensive line coach, Eric Wolford, was not familiar with the system and decided just to scrap it and kind of stick with what Kentucky had done already of the run game. And they were obviously very successful. Basically, since day one this spring, Scangarello and Zach Kinzer have said that's not going to happen. The outside zone is what this offense is built around. Everything that we do goes through that. It's not the only thing they do in the run game, but it sets everything else up. Ms. Scangarello said multiple times he probably wouldn't have even taken the job if Zach Kinzer wasn't already here and he knew that he had an offensive line coach who also came from the 49ers that was comfortable with that system and teaching linemen how to block that way. So it was interesting that Mark acknowledged they had that conversation Monday, but everything we heard Tuesday from Scangarello and Kinzer was this is who we are, and it's just, you know, maybe it takes a little time to get used to it, and that's where some of this cohesion stuff's coming in when you're throwing offensive linemen out there who are maybe probably not ready to play, but I don't think they're going to abandon the system in the way that, you know, Liam Cohen did a year ago.
Will Levis cutting down his turnovers, interceptions, how big of a worry is that for you, I guess?
I mean, it's happened enough now over a year and three games that you can't just dismiss it and say that some of these are fluke plays, but, you know, some of them are fluke plays. The one at Florida, I don't know if that was an interception or a fumble or if it had been an incomplete pass if the guy had not caught it. I don't know what that would have been. But the two on Saturday are interesting because we heard Monday that Will was to blame for a couple of the sacks. He needed to get it out quicker, but it sounds like they're pretty adamant those interceptions were mostly on the receivers, where the receivers ran the wrong route. And Rich, the first one in particular, Scangarello said he threw that where I would tell him to throw it 99 out of 100 times or whatever, and the receiver just cut his route short. And it sounded like the second one, maybe they felt like there was a hold or something early in the play. That's kind of what Scangarello insinuated on Tuesday, and Will rush things a little bit, so it wasn't a great throw, but it was still a play where if the receiver had run the route he thought, maybe it wouldn't have been an interception. So I think there are things Will Levis can do better, obviously, and not turning the ball over is one of them. They need him to be perfect if the run game is not going to be what we thought it was going to be. But it doesn't sound like anybody over there is super concerned that, you know, he's the problem by any means.
John Hill with us quickly, John. Saturday coming up, 26-point favorites. It looks like Northern Illinois' starting quarterback, is not going to be playing. At least that's my thought. I do not know. I guess they put out a video a couple hours ago, and it basically had the backup in there. So that also, they could be playing coy. I have no idea who's going to play. Regardless, I mean, nearly 4 touchdown favorites. I guess, what are you expecting to see out there on Saturday?
I think this is the one where they put it together and win kind of comfortably. I think the schedule worked out for them well, where Youngstown was the first one, so they got their performance last week where they were clearly flat and, you know, not really invested after the Florida game at times. Now they have that tape to come out and tell guys all week, listen, you can't do this against a better team that's not an FCS team. That'll get you in trouble. And so I think they come out focused, even though it's, you know, that prototypical trap game with Ole Miss next week, but I think they realize they have to get some work in for this one to be in a position to win these SEC games coming up.
How good do you think, just looking ahead, how good do you think Ole Miss is?
I have a hard time telling.
Yeah, me too.
They haven't played anybody very good so far, but, you know, it's Lane Kiffin, so they're going to be able to score points. And Kentucky, you know, it's going to be a different kind of offensive test than they've faced so far. Because, I mean, even Florida, their offense, I think
right.
We now know, is not elite by any means. So I'm interested to see how the defense does play there.
John Hale, Lexington Herald leader. John, appreciate the time, man. Take care.
Thanks for having me.
Indiana.
All right, we have a mystery guest from Indiana.
Is it
Big Easy?
Is it easy?
It's Jack Grossman.
It's Bob Knight.
Hello, ladies.
It's not Bob Knight.
It's just Jack Grossman.
Probably would have hyped it up if it was Bob Knight.
We're just saying hi to Jack.
Jack.
All the Indiana people at IU Media Day. Yep. We have no IU guests.
They have an early media day at IU. I mean, it's not even October yet.
They took the team picture.
It's Indiana sports, you know, the basketball is the priority there still.
We're at the teeth of a football season, it's like, yeah, we want to hear what
they got to be out by 5 o'clock so everyone can go to bed.
That's right, yep. At IU, yeah.
All the mustiness around IU basketball.
Yeah. All that musty smell.
They can just go to bed at 4:45.
It knocks you out. That's what happens.
Knocks you right out.
Yeah, all that
must. Dustin Dupirak will be to bed by 8:45 tonight.
Good night, Dustin.
So, I don't know, Jack, do you have anything?
What do you have for IU,
Trace Jackson Davis says he's going to play on the perimeter of this season.
Oh boy.
Those stats will plummet.
I mean, we don't believe it.
Plummet.
I mean,
you don't believe it?
That was a lie.
Oh. Of course it's a lie. It's the same lie that we've heard of Oscar Tshiebwe all summer. How many threes did he take in the Bahamas? One over the course of those three games? And those were exhibitions. And when it gets down to it, maybe in a couple of cupcakes, he'll take a couple threes. But no, when they play someone good, he's going to get his butt on the block where he belongs. That's where he's good. That's where he's able to be one of the best players in the country. If he can hit some jump shots, that'd be great. But what has he shown over the course of 3 years that he's going to be able to do that? I've been consistent on this one. He's not going to be able to shoot the ball. He just hasn't been able to do it. If he does, I would love to be wrong.
Jack, wish happy birthday to Connor Bazelak.
Happy birthday, Connor Bazelak.
Oh, it's his birthday.
Happy birthday,
Connor Bazelak.
Thank you for winning the starting job over Jack Tuttle.
Who do they play in football, Jack?
They're at Cincinnati this week, so they're going to lose
this week. Big game.
Yeah, they're going to
lose. Big game.
They could win that if they win.
Yeah,
if they win,
regular.
That'd be huge.
Yeah.
About that?
They're not what they were last year. It could happen.
All right.
That's enough.
No. That's enough.
I have them beating Nebraska next week.
There you go.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
4-1 Hoosiers.
Thank you that. Yes. From the Schwab over
there.
They'll
only be two wins away from a bowl.
Oh, no. It
lines
up,
that?
People. They have games against Nebraska, Maryland, Rutgers, and Purdue. And to make a bowl game, they'd have to win three of them.
Tom Allen's going to go bowling.
He's going 5-7.
Who has a better record at the end of the season, Tom Allen or
Scott Satterfield?
267-968.
What a question. He's got a better record.
I mean, we did have a poll question earlier this week. Who would win between Louisville and IU?
Joey Votto is a hero. We have Drew Franklin sound.
Oh,
Vince Mero's name was uttered a few different times and a bunch of other nonsense as well. We got you to 6 o'clock. It's The Take. It's a Thursday on ESPN 680.
Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Texas says Cards fans want to meet Strebel in the streets.
And James Strebel.
Cats fans want to meet Blank in the alley.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, guys. Kentucky's 3-0. They're back in action Saturday, hosting Northern Illinois. Directly following the game, Kentucky Fish and Wildlife post-game show with Strebel and Entz. Entz Mike 1, Strebel Mike 2. Ah. It's all right here, right after the game, 3:30 or so on ESPN 680, 105.7. Reminder, tonight, Soccer City coming your way at 6 o'clock, and then at 7:30, week 3 of the NFL season kicks off. Browns and Steelers. Have fun watching that. Turd fest. Yeah. That 10-7 matchup. I'll take the under.
Couple of 1-1 teams.
Couple of bum teams. Anyway, Texter says 437-9680 reacting to the blitz and Ty Spaulding.
Oh, no.
My God, Ty Spaulding sounds like he's in pain.
He did. That's the saddest I've ever heard him.
Ty Spaulding sounds like bleep go cats.
Oh, no.
Texter says, man, Ty sounds like someone just shot his dog. Texter says, does Ty get paid to watch film? He didn't mention that.
He might.
Texter says, how many times is Ty Spaulding going to say, I don't get paid for breaking down film? Texter says, I'm just curious here. Is Ty getting paid millions to break down film?
I don't think he is.
Texter says, how can anyone listen to what Ty Spaulding just said and think we still need to give Satterfield more time? Texter says, sweaty hands. Texter says hairy palm.
Well, I was waiting for that one.
There it
is. I was like, I knew it would pop up sometime.
By the way,
other. Yeah,
we haven't done this in a while. Little, you're an Oktoberfest guy.
I like Oktoberfest. Yes, I like the Oktoberfest beers.
It's not good for the old diet, but I've been crushing Oktoberfest beers.
They're great. I
different
love
ones.
Yeah.
Your girl Kiki.
Little German princess. How about that?
You like
She's
that, don't
big,
you?
I'm a sucker for the. Like the German,
for the outfits,
yeah, I, yeah,
you love them.
I love those.
You love a sexy German.
I yeah.
Hope we learned something
yeah,
today.
Yeah, I do. I'm yes. I like those very much.
Oh,
I don't know why. It's something. Well, I'll just stop. But I do like them.
Well, we do know why.
So what kind of Oktoberfest? You got to shoot me a few because I'm a big fan of Oktoberfest beer.
Okay,
I love that malty. That
little
flavor,
malty.
Little malty, that dark beer. It's not, but it's not too dark.
Right.
It's got that malty sweet flavor to it. I like that a lot.
Can I ask you something? And I don't know what's going on with this.
Yeah, okay.
Was a Big Game Boomer the Twitter site?
Yeah, they the Louisville.
That wants Vince Merrill to take the Auburn job.
That's who it came from?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. I'm asking you the genesis of this. I assume you've been on the message boards a lot today. Let's just be honest.
Blank and Baker had an entire thing. Well,
Kentucky
yes.
fans have been crushing Blank for the last 24 hours or so. Well, they
house,
do anyway.
House
but,
of Blue, it's been a bad time for Blank and Baker today.
Yes, it
on
has.
The old House of Blue.
So
right?
You've been all over that.
I think Roland had to clean some things. Up
did he
today.
Really?
Yeah.
Roland had to clean some things
the
up.
The thread disappeared for a while, and
oh,
I was like, what
goodness.
Happened here? And then it popped back up on the front page, and I was like, okay. So something
it
was
went
going
too far.
On.
It
I
went too far.
Some things that I didn't read all the stuff on there, but there were a few on there that I was like,
they're going to Blankenbaker.
They're going to Blankenbaker.
Yes, they were. Deputy
bad
Doofus
things.
Is what they called
him. They call him Deputy Doofus. They should take his badge away. They were asking me if I know what his burner account is. I mean, it was the whole thing.
Oh, you were brought into it.
I was brought into it.
Oh, boy. I didn't know that.
I was brought into it a little bit. I just said, I don't have that information. I left it alone. Just left it alone.
Cowered in the corner. So you have no idea where this Mero stuff came from?
All I saw was Vince Mero. I could look at it right now and see. Let's do that. Let's dive into it.
Well, you're going to House of Blue right now?
I am. I'm going to House of Blue. But it was something about Vince Mero and Auburn. And I was like, there's no way that Auburn would go to Vince Mero as their next head coach, because I think that fan base is desperate for a high-profile, high-level head coach. And I don't think Vince Mero cuts that for them. All right, so here it is, House of Blue, and we got it right here, baby. We got it popping up.
Vince Mero coaching at Auburn is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yes. No, I want to be clear.
I thought you made it sound like
No.
No,
it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be talked about. It should not be talked
Texas
about.
Texas says a little pervy rig on a Thursday.
I wasn't that bad about it, everybody. I just said that I like the German dresses. That's all I said. That's it. I didn't say anything else. That was it.
He's been trying to find this.
It's disappeared.
The German dresses.
Jack, I'm just watching him right now on his phone. That's all a mess. It's old.
It's a mess.
And he's trying to find this, and he can't. He looks 100 years old.
I can't.
Strebel didn't know what Apple One was.
I didn't. Andy had to tell me all about it. It sounds like a really good thing. There's a Bo Allen thread on here. There's a Bo Allen thread. Apparently he's like putting up all these yards at Tarleton State, and everyone's like, see, he could have worked here.
No one thinks that.
No, they don't believe that. Well, they may not
believe
it.
Whatever you're hearing, whatever you're seeing there, they don't.
They may not believe it, but they're saying it. Luckily, people are getting shut down, so yeah, I'm not finding it. But I don't know where it went. House of Blue's been terrible.
All right, we're going to punish you. We're going to punish you right now.
Why? What did
Jack,
I do?
Jack, we're going to punish him right now. Get the Drew Franklin sound. We're going to punish him. That's what we're going to do.
I wonder if Mark Blankenbaker will get dragged into this.
You know, you want to admit it or not, growing up in Carolina.
That's not it.
That's not it.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Was that that Carolina at the very beginning?
Yeah. Okay, so do you want to? I want to play some of this, Jack. I'll tell you when to stop.
Okay.
We're going to punish you right now. Before Stuart Mandel, we got like 3 minutes here,
what
4 minutes. We're
going to
punish
Auburn.
You.
Okay.
Drew Franklin went out and asked Kentucky fans if your boy Stoops needs a statue. This is not radio, so we can play this sound. He went to tailgates.
Close.
A couple more years?
Yeah.
Let's build it. I'll help. I'll give some money. What are we going
to
do?
So you're not even a maybe. You're ready to get to
work. No, let's build it right now. He's the man.
Yeah.
Think so?
Yeah.
Start building it right now.
Should we build a Mark Stoops statue already?
Well, hell yeah.
He deserves it.
Is it time for the Mark Stoops statue, or are we a little early in this conversation?
We're never too early for a Mark Stoops statue. We're overdue.
This week about a statue for Mark Stoops. Are we getting a little ahead of ourselves, or is it time after what he accomplished?
A little ahead of itself.
Terrible.
More towards the end of his tenure. We'll look at it, and hopefully that 10 years is 20 years away.
I think we should have a Mark Stoops statue. I think it's fantastic what he's accomplished.
If they were to build it, would it maybe have a little bit of a jinx or superstitious thing that he's still
absolutely here? Not. I don't
believe it would.
Since the man has accomplished great things.
Yes, for sure. He turned around the program.
What about you?
Yeah, I think so too.
No!
With Shannon, it's premature. When we go to Atlanta, then put it up.
Yes.
Stoops troops, baby. Stoops troops.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Was that
a statue?
You want
it? Raise it high.
I think that he's earned one at this point. I mean, UK football is now have a tradition of winning, and very exciting. Is this a video or is it?
Nah, we need to be getting it in the plans.
This is a video.
I mean, he's done enough. I've been coming up here for 40-some years. He's done enough. Let's get it started.
Yeah, I'd say wait a little bit.
All right.
That's good. How about that?
80% said go ahead and build it.
How about that?
I don't like it.
Build Stoops a statue. That's how we're leading off the Stuart Mandel interview.
You don't need to build him a statue yet. I'm with like the four people that said no. I mean, what's going on here, man? They're like, yeah, alcohol. I'll chalk it up to alcohol. Everyone had a lot to drink. They're feeling good after Florida. As Youngstown State, that's all there was to it. They can't really believe this. They can't really believe it's time to build him a statue right now today. It's not. It absolutely isn't. And shame on Drew Franklin for asking that question.
I disagree.
And putting Kentucky fans in a bad spot.
They could say no. Don't blame him. He's just trying to do a bit. The fact that people said yes, that's their fault.
It is their fault. But the question is irrelevant. The question shouldn't even be asked. It shouldn't even be thought about. No.
Texas says, does caller Emily wear the German dresses for Big Rig?
I don't know what she wears. I've never seen her. I don't know. It'd be cool if my wife did, though. That'd be awesome.
Jack must be on the phone with Stuart Mandel.
Yeah, I guess he is. Hey, Stuart. We're talking German beer dresses.
Texas says it sounds a lot like MAGA folks being interviewed on January 6th. About a Trump statue.
Thank you. Yes. Should there be a Trump? That's what we should do. We should go to the Kentucky tailgate.
Vanetti, you awake over there, man?
Yeah.
That's a bit you should do. You're in news.
Yeah. Go ask.
You're not supposed to talk politics.
We'll talk sports.
You're supposed to.
I would,
especially right wing politics.
I'd actually like to do that. I think that would be funny. Go to like a Kentucky or a Louisville tailgate.
Well, I mean, you'll be at the Louisville ones. We'll I'm not worried about that.
We'll see what the Louisville fans think, and we'll see what the Kentucky fans think. And we'll break down the numbers.
Texas says Sweeney has made Strebel a non-UK fan. He's a parrot on a shoulder.
No, I'm not. I like Kentucky. I do the Kentucky postgame show. I just don't think – I think it's too soon to build a statue.
Texas says, LMAO, my God, that sound is sad. Building a statue for Stoops.
Is he above 500 yet as a coach? I'm serious. I think he is.
Well, here's what it is.
Yes.
Here's what it is. Some cultures at universities build stuff like this. Around here, we just
don't do it. No. There's only
we just don't do it. Kentucky and Louisville both. I mean, Louisville doesn't retire numbers.
Right. No, they don't. They don't.
They just don't. Ask Michael Bush.
Yeah.
He'll tell you. Oh, goodness. Stuart Mandel joins us from The Athletic. Stuart, good afternoon, sir. How are you? Happy football season.
Happy football season. How are you guys?
Oh, we're fantastic. Just because it's been a funny thing we've talked about, it has been brought up here locally. Should Mark Stoops have a statue at Kroger Field? That has actually been brought up locally. I just feel like you need to know that, Stuart. As a national correspondent, you need to know that that has been brought up locally here, and we have talked about it on ESPN Louisville.
I'm glad everybody appreciates the job Coach Stoops is doing and is keeping everything in proper perspective.
Yeah, that's right. Normally what we do around here. Stuart Mandel with us here on ESPN 680, 105.7. You know, you wrote this, I think, in the mailbag, and I was laughing at it. You also tweeted, I'm wrong, and that's, of course, we're going into what week? Was it week four? My God, it was moving by week four of the college football season. Nationally, big picture, you've been wrong. What have you been most right about? What have you been most right about? And then we'll get to you being wrong here in a second.
It's so much easier to pick out the things I'm wrong about. I think that I would just look to USC for one thing. I mean, I figured you saw once Lincoln Riley got there, and especially once he got Caleb Williams to come, they shot up to everybody's like playoff team, and I'm like, well, their defense is still really bad. You know, and so it's been exactly what I thought. Their offense is fantastic. Their defense is bad. They're number 7 in the country. Can you stay that high with that formula? You know, I think that remains to be seen. I probably underestimated Georgia a little bit, but they're still Georgia, still really good. But there's just been a lot of really, frankly, we do preseason predictions for fun. We don't actually know what we're talking about. And so the fun part of the first few weeks is the teams you don't see coming, like Washington. I guess what I'll pat myself on the back a little bit, though, is I did pick Kansas to win 3 Big 12 games, which I haven't done in 13 years. And now I think I may have even underestimated them.
Yeah, and now people are like, give them game day. Give them game day. I dare you. Give them game day. Stuart Mandel with us. Okay, you're wrong. Give me the list. What are your power rankings of being wrong? Probably Notre Dame in there. What are your power rankings?
Oklahoma. I wasn't doing it intentionally, but I seem to be way on an island of people feeling like, you know, this is a huge, huge change to go from Lincoln Riley to Brent Venables, losing, a possible number one pick kind of quarterback and all these other things. I thought it would take him a little while. I frankly thought what's happening with Marcus Freeman would happen with Brent Venables. And, you know, yes, Nebraska stinks. So maybe I shouldn't be entirely surprised if they did what they did. But they look like Oklahoma. They look really good. They play Kansas State this week. I certainly think that, you know, whereas I said 7-5, I think it's much more likely that they be a playoff contender like they usually are.
Stuart Mandel with us here on ESPN 680 105.7. Okay, Kentucky moves into the top 10. Northern Illinois this week. It's going to set up a matchup in Oxford, hopefully a 2-4-0 teams, two top 15 teams. That's going to be a big matchup, you know, along with Bama and Arkansas. Those are two big tilts in the SEC next week. But what have you made of Kentucky? You know, Levis having some turnovers, sloppiness on the offensive line, dominant defense at the same time. What do you make of where Kentucky is?
Yeah, the dominant defense is what stands out to me, and maybe I shouldn't be surprised about that at this point, but it's allowed them to, frankly, overcome some of the issues you're talking about in offense that I think, frankly, are solvable. So you never know, especially in this early part of the season, they go down and beat Florida in the Swamp, and that's considered a really big win because Florida had just beaten Utah the week before. Then a week later, Florida was, frankly, very fortunate not to lose to USF at home, might get creamed by Tennessee this week, and then you have to go back and say, wait, did we really learn from that what we thought we did? But certainly off to an encouraging start.
You mentioned fixable. I guess, what do you mean by that? The offensive line getting reps, Chris Rodriguez coming back, Levis being a little bit smarter. They need to get the offense going. Like, they're not going to win at Ole Miss if they don't play sharper on offense.
Chris Rodriguez is the big one to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a guy that you counted on to be the you know, one of, if not the star of the team, and hasn't been there available yet. But offensive line, and you guys are a lot closer to it than me to know if that's guys just need to get more reps or they've been uncharacteristic or if there's like a really glaring problem. You know, it's kind of like Alabama after the Texas game. Everybody was like, oh, well, we just assumed they would reload because that's what they do, but maybe they're actually not good on the offensive line. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time into the season to find that out.
Yeah, I think their offensive line, and Strieble, tell me if you think I'm wrong here. I think their offensive line can be good this season. Right now, it is not that. Right now, they had a worn-down Florida team in the second half that they dominated, and that's the only quarter that you feel good about before those two quarters or after.
They've been injured.
They have been injured, and so that might be a part of it, but they don't have the talent right now that they have had the last couple years. It doesn't mean this unit cannot be better. They're also running more outside zone stuff with Scangarello. We talked to a UK guest about that about 20 minutes ago. So there are some reasons, but right now I think this offensive line, it's fair to say, is not going to be what we've seen the last few years from Mark Stoops.
And so then the question is, like, what is their ceiling if that's the case, right? And, getting the win over Florida is huge in that regard. It'll be really interesting by the time it comes to play Tennessee because that's a team that you are not going to beat 17-13 this year.
No.
So you're going to have to be able to put some points again. I'm not sitting here saying Tennessee is definitely better than Kentucky or vice versa. I just know that they're going to put points on everybody this year.
Who was the third best team you thought preseason in the SEC, and who is it now? Has that changed?
Yeah, it has, because I thought the third best team was Texas A&M, and I don't think that now. Yeah. I wouldn't say that it's necessarily all that clear cut. I mean, I think the Tennessee Florida game will be a little bit illuminating because, you know, I didn't necessarily think Tennessee was quite there yet, but they could be.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss is kind of a wild card to me. They just haven't really, just the way the schedule's worked out. I mean, Georgia Tech's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really like Arkansas, and I'm interested to see how they play this week. They frankly started the season with two really good wins, and and then actually had their toughest game from a FCS team. So, you know, they play A&M this week. If Arkansas is as good as I think they could be, they should be able to handle A&M. But Vegas seems to disagree, and A&M is actually favored.
Yeah, Vegas. I know you have your picks. Damn Vegas. Yeah, they always know, don't they? They always know. Stuart yeah. Mandel from The Athletic with us. I'm not asking you to be following Louisville football. But around here, they're 1-2. Two bad performances, 0-2 in the ACC. A defense that has been questionable at best. I mean, in the 100s in many categories, in what might be, what could be, what should be a make-or-break year for Scott Satterfield. The next three are uber winnable. We're talking South Florida this week at home. We're talking at Boston College and at Virginia. What I said on Monday, Stuart, was I'm just not giving this team the benefit of the doubt, the penalties, not being ready, losing very winnable games. The fan base was jacked up on Friday, and they were let down after Florida State beat them with a backup quarterback and a 6'7 wide receiver from Arizona State. So the Louisville fans right now are despondent, and it feels like what we have seen the last couple seasons. Any takes on Louisville football?
Well, I watched that game Friday night, and I also saw quite a bit of the Syracuse game, and it's just been really puzzling because, you know, especially because Malik Cunningham is the one guy that you that is the proven commodity for Louisville football. The guy that if they're going to have a good season, you figure it's going to be because of him. And even he's been struggling a lot at times. So it's a really I'm really puzzled about the whole situation. I was extremely high on Scott Satterfield when they hired him. I thought he did a phenomenal job at Appalachian State. And in that first year, as you guys know, way over exceeded anything we thought that 2019-2020 team was capable of. And it just hasn't followed up on it. And now he's in this weird kind of in-between where this possibly great recruiting class could be coming in, but we don't know if he makes it long enough to coach them. So, like you said, three winnable games in a row here, and they need to do that. They should have won the Florida State game,
yeah.
And I think Florida State's pretty good, but with the injuries that Florida State suffered in that game, yeah, they should have won that game, certainly not lost it in the way they did.
Yeah, it's just the same story. It really is. And then you add on top of it right now their offense. It's good. They just find a way, Stuart, what it is. In big moments, they find a way not to come through. And when they have the entire fan base that's getting ready to roar and they want to buy in on Friday, they don't come through. It was very predictable in the 10 penalties, 30 penalties in three games. Scott Satterfield is teetering that line. And we may know something here if they continue to lose games. But the next three could be winnable. That would set up a home matchup with Pittsburgh. We'll see where they are. They've had some quarterback injury issues as well. Quickly for Stuart Mandel, The Athletic. You have Tennessee winning this game in a close one. Just quickly, three big games. Tennessee, Florida, what do you have?
Yeah, I mean, I have Tennessee, and maybe they do blow Florida out, but I'm a little hesitant to do that given how much Florida has owned that rivalry over the last 15, 16 years.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, was it 16 of 17, 17 of 18, something ridiculous like that. You think Arkansas should handle A&M? I agree. Although Jimbo Fisher, who knows, him in that Hare Island, maybe he can capture one and move up the rankings again. What do you think happens in this one?
Yeah, I just think A&M's offense is just so miserable. And so you're playing an Arkansas team, and I think KJ Jefferson's a really good quarterback. You know, Miami's not anywhere near as far along on offense as Arkansas is, and they were right in that game till the end. So Arkansas should be able to win the game.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you with that one as well. Wake and Clemson, any thought on this one? Wake Forest, can they overcome Clemson here early in the season?
Yeah, that was the tough one for me to pick. I mean, I could see it going either way. Now, obviously, Clemson handled them last year pretty decisively. But I'm not convinced that Clemson has figured out their offensive issues all that much. It'll be a big game for DJ, to say the least. And Wake, you know, the thing with Wake is I love Sam Hartman, but their defense still isn't very good. So I'm picking Clemson. Mm-hmm. But that's of the ones you asked me about, that's one I'm least certain
yeah.
about.
No, that'd be a fun one. Stuart, enjoy the weather. I don't know, it's like 70 degrees here, so people, I guess, are happy. But fall means winter, and that makes me unhappy. So whatever, you guys can have it anyway. Stuart Mandel from The Athletic, enjoy the weekend, enjoy the slate, and we'll talk with you down the road. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, there we go. Stuart Mandel with us here on ESPN 680 1057. What are you awing about?
Little buyer's remorse on Satterfield there from Stuart Mandel. He's been one of his biggest advocates. I mean, like he said, he liked Scott Satterfield and F-State liked the hire.
Buyer's remorse.
Yeah, I think we'll hear a lot more of that throughout the season as we have some other guests on that may have bought into Satterfield and saying, maybe I should have given Satterfield a little breathing room before we jumped all in on Scott Satterfield. So, yeah, good stuff, though, from Stuart Mandel.
Is that good for you? Yeah, you good with that?
I'm good with that. Yeah, good stuff.
He passed your inspection?
Yeah, I don't know about Arkansas and A&M, though.
That's a fun game.
It's going to be fun.
It might be 17-10, but it might be fun.
I'm leaning A&M just because it's at home, and I don't think that they've already lost one home game.
Right.
It's very rare they lose home games. So I'm going A&M on that one.
Okay. I like that.
That's just, yeah.
I might be with you.
Yeah. That's just my take on it. Jimbo got a little resurrection on his mind this season. He's going to resurrect after the App State debacle.
Ence just texted me the picture of Kiki. We've already talked about it,
big guy. Yeah, we got it.
We did that a half an hour ago.
Yeah, he's slow on the uptake today.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's working. He's working.
4379. Yeah, you're so busy. You can send IG model photos, but you can't do Soccer City.
Oh,
Jack's got it.
Don't worry.
By the way, a famous Lionel sound Messi turned 15 years old today.
Well, I know what it is.
I know what it is. Gundy, okay. Right?
Yes, Gundy.
Gundy. I'm a man. I'm 40.
That ruined that for you, Jack. Yeah.
Sorry, Jack. I know. Yeah.
Sorry we ruined that.
No, Jack, talking. What is it? I like the
My
dog.
Gundy.
I like the dog sound better. Was that last week?
Yeah, it was a call guy.
Yeah, that's much better sound.
I'm a man. I'm 40. It's a classic for me.
It is a classic, but when he starts making the meow noises,
it is great.
It's over.
Gundy's a douche.
Yeah, he turned out to be. It was funny. And it's like, no, that's who he really is.
Yeah.
Like, this is Mike Gundy. He's a tough...
Mullet's not, like, it's not funny. It's not ironic.
He's like I'm a tough guy. I got a mullet. I coach for the Cowboys, Oklahoma State. I rock my OAN shirt. I'm a man. I'm 40. It's like, oh, get out of here.
I just don't think he's smart.
I think he says ignorant things. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
That's my thing.
Yeah, no, he's not
and
smart.
And I know he's going to go 9-3.
Yeah.
Yep, and get blasted by Oklahoma in Bedlam while they're still a thing.
You should pray that if you made the Sugar Bowl, you play them.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yes, that's the matchup right now. It's Kentucky, right now in September. It's Kentucky, Oklahoma State, and Sugar Bowl. I'd love that. That'd be great.
Texas says, build a statue for Stoops, 30 FCS wins out of 61. Texas says, does Struble get paid to slurp Cal, or does he do it for free?
Free. I wish I got paid for it. If I got paid for it, it'd be a lot better.
Texas says, if Struble could build a statue in his yard, who would it be of?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't think
Kelly.
I would. No, I don't think I'd build any statues.
Well, that wasn't the question.
I don't think I would.
You wouldn't?
No. I don't think so.
Will Levis doing an L's down?
No, I just...
Not of Cal?
I don't know. I just...
What about Issel?
It's like, no, I just... I don't think I want a statue of someone in my yard. You know what I mean? It's kind of like idolatry.
Texas what about says, a Shigari Aileen statue?
Oh, please. Idolatry. Please. You don't believe that. It's idolatry?
Yeah.
Oh, stop it. I know you don't believe that. No one believes that.
No.
Texas says, build the wall, then the statue. Signed, BBN.
Maybe. I don't know.
It did sound like that Drew Franklin clip.
Build the wall.
You gotta burn it up. Get done soon enough. Go Gant.
I want Jack to do the next vitality read. Is like that.
Like BB and Irv.
Well, you want to lose 85 pounds.
Vitality.
I didn't know what an orange was. A strawberry? What was that?
What is that weird looking thing?
I just eat brisket.
Who eats food that's colored green?
Kiwi's got hair.
I'm not eating that. A pineapple? What the hell?
You want me to eat broccoli?
Texas says, man, I can't read this one.
Lib stuff?
I almost said a bad word.
that lib S.
That would have sounded good.
This text, man, it's good. But it's for such a small amount of people.
Yeah.
Remember the statue in the Tom Green Show. The dinner statue.
Oh, man. Yes.
It's a good text.
It was a good text.
Three people know what I'm talking
about. Man, that's a banger from back in the
day. By the way, the Padres lead the Cardinals 1-0 right now.
How about that,
Mitch? That'll make you happy. Yeah, we'll prank call Mitch if they lose back-to-back games in San Diego.
Let's go.
5 o'clock hour coming up next. Jeff Scott, South Florida head coach, joins us in 35 minutes, about 5:30 or so, right here on this Thursday on ESPN 680.